Proverbs 31 and verse 28. King Lemuel said concerning the virtuous woman, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." So you virtuous mothers that are here today, and we have a bunch of you, we want you to know that we appreciate you. And you kids and you husbands, it's all right to give them a big pat on the back and treat them special today, because they are. Some of us mothers have gone on over, and we look forward to be reunited with them one day. And it's always good to remember them with fondness and love. To set the stage for our thoughts today, I want to share with you a poem entitled A Mother's Love, written by Jill Leeming, and it says, "There is no love like a mother's love, no stronger bond on earth, like the precious bond that comes from God to a mother when she gives birth. A mother's love is forever strong, never changing for all time. And when her children need her most, a mother's love will shine. God bless these special mothers. God bless them every one, for all the tears and heartache, and for the special work they've done. When her days on earth are over, a mother's love lives on through many generations, with God's blessings on each one. Be thankful for our mothers, for they love with a higher love, from the power God has given and the strength from up above." I want y'all to have a copy of that poem to take home with you as a memorial of this day. And I think I'll let you have one, but if you don't, there's some more on the shelf as you go out. So feel free to get them. But this is Family Day here at Menlo, and we want to talk a little bit about the family. You know, the family is the oldest institution on earth. Before there was a church, there was a home, there was the family. Before there was a nation, there was the home, the family. It was in the light of the already existing institution of the family that God introduced Himself to us as our Father. You ever thought about that? We knew what a father was. And God says, "Hey, look, I am your spiritual father." In 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, Paul said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And it was in the light of the already existing institution of the family that God presented the church to us, and He said, "Look, this is going to be my family." In Ephesians 3:14, Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So God took the already existing institution of the family, and He says, "I'm going to be your father, and the church is going to be my family." Isn't that beautiful? But you know, the Bible does not always use the word family when it talks about the family. One word that it uses quite often is the word house. Now, we talk about the house as that building that's made out of mortar and brick or stone or wood or whatever that we live in, that our families live in. But the Bible uses the word house to mean family or household. In 1 Timothy 3:14, Paul said, "These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You know, the Bible says that Noah and his house entered into the ark. Does that mean Noah jacked up his house and shoved it in the ark when the flood was about to come? No. It means that his household went into the ark. Genesis 1:7, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. In Acts 16:34, the Bible says the Philippian jailer rejoiced, believing in God with all his house or family. So I want to take one of those passages today that uses the word house, meaning family, as our thought, our text today. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua says to the people of God, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house or family, we will serve the Lord. You know, I think Joshua was a real head of his household. He realized that he couldn't make the decision for the other people. He called on them to choose you this day whom you will serve. But he realized that he could make the decision for himself and his family. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We think about Joshua as being the head of his household. I don't think that as head of his house, Joshua was the driver of his family. I think he was the leader of his family. You know, it's a lot easier to be led than it is to be driven. Sometimes people try to drive people into doing things when they would come out a lot better to lead them into doing the right thing. And I think Joshua was a leader of his household. As I think about Joshua, I don't think a modern day Joshua would wake up Sunday morning and ask his family, well, what do y'all want to do today? Y'all want to go to church, or y'all want to go to the park, or out on a picnic, or you want to go for a Sunday drive, go visit Aunt Susie? I can't picture Joshua telling Mrs. Joshua to hurry up and get breakfast fixed and get the kids ready so they can all go to church. I picture Mr. Joshua getting up, fixing breakfast himself, and calling his family to the table and saying, look, come on, let's eat and get ready to go. We're going to church today. But you know, today in our society, how many more moms there are taking the lead in trying to lead their families aright than there are dads? How many more moms are there than dads trying to stop their families from using bad language and get them to behave in a godly manner? So how many husbands and daddies are the kinds of heads of household that Joshua was? I have a feeling that in our society today there are many more mothers and wives trying to lead their families in the right way than there are husbands. I have a feeling that today there are many more mothers and wives trying to get their families up and get them ready for church on Sunday morning than there are husbands and daddies. And God bless them for it. But we need more heads of household, the men and the daddies and the fathers that are like Joshua, saying, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Tell me, if a man is a household, head of his household, is he going to say, all right, now my family can serve me. I'm the head and they're going to wait on me. That seems to be the idea some men have. That's not the kind of head of household God wants, and it's not the kind of head of household that Joshua was. The real head of the household views being the head of the house as a responsibility and not as a privilege. Not saying, all right, my family can wait on me. But now let's look at some of the things that challenge the godly family that we saw in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua called on the people to choose whether they would serve God or not. And he said there are a lot of other things challenging our service to God. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Notice these other gods that are challenging the person serving God. Put away the gods which your father served that are on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think it was kind of tongue-in-cheek that Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Certainly no one would think it an evil thing to serve the Lord, but yet some people might. But Joshua realized that there were other things challenging our service to God. These were supposed to be God's people. They still had their service to God challenged. They were still influenced by gods from the other side of the flood. That might have been gods from antiquity, back from before Noah and his flood. Or some translations puts it, God, the gods that are on the other side of the river. Maybe talking about some contemporary gods of other nations that they had been acquainted with. There were the gods of the Chaldeans, fire, and the gods of light, and the gods of the sun, and so forth. There were the gods of the Egyptians, Apis and Anubis, and serpentine gods, even gods of vegetables and so forth. But then he talked about the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. The gods of the Amorites, the Moabites, the Canaanites, that would have included Baal Peor, Astarte, and so forth. Gods of fertility. Gods that even accepted the human sacrifice of children. Others, the gods of fertility that were worshipped with a type of so-called sacred prostitution. When God through Joshua called upon the people to make the decision, it wasn't a hard decision for them to make to know the right thing to do. The answer came back, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We will serve the Lord. Well, that was certainly the right answer, wasn't it? But look what Joshua said as you read on. Joshua's answer was, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. In other words, you've got to get these other gods out before the true God will come in. And what they were doing, they were trying to be politically correct, I guess, and they were trying to accept everybody's God and the Lord too. Joshua said, you can't serve the Lord till you get rid of all these other gods. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua replied, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Verses 16 through 24. So there were things challenging people's service to God. You know, this day and time, there are things that challenge our service to God today. Namely, these foreign gods that we're still holding on to. Somebody said, well, what are you talking about? We don't have any foreign gods. Well, you know, there may be many foreign gods challenging our service to the true God today. There's a note in the Believer's Study Bible that puts it like this. It says, our contemporary pluralistic society presents us with a confusing display of values, goals, and lifestyles. It is not a godless society, but a society full of gods pleading for our attention. The issue is whether to obey our mighty and loving Creator or to be lost in a hell-bound madhouse of confusion. And that's the way they put it. And you know, I don't think they were far from right. in our day and time, even the term family is being redefined. The Hebrew family was what we call a patriarchal family, a family headed by the father. If you look up the word family in a modern day dictionary, you're probably going to find that the traditional family is one that has two parents, and the family is made up of the children and perhaps the grandchildren of those parents. But then it'll go on to tell you that a modern day family may consist of various other related or non-related individuals who are living under one roof. Well, really, this is not the kind of family God's talking about, is it? One encyclopedia states, since the 1960s, several variations on the family unit have emerged. More unmarried couples are cohabiting before or instead of marrying. Some elderly couples, most often widowed, are finding it more practical and economical or economically feasible to cohabit without marrying. Alternate lifestyle couples are also living together more openly today as a kind of family, sometimes sharing their household with the children of one partner, so forth. Some, it says, are communal families made up of groups of related or even unrelated people. You know, we see that. Remember back when the Waltons was on TV, they were a conventional family. But then we came on and we got some odd families that were odd to us. We had the Dukes of Hazzard, they were cousins and uncles and whatever. Then we had Two and a Half Men and the cousins and the kids and whatever. Families are being redefined. But the family, as God sees it, is the oldest institution on earth. And I believe today that we're in real trouble if our families fall apart. So what are the gods that hinder our families from serving God today? We had Baal that accepted human sacrifices. We had Astarte or whatever that was a god of fertility. And think about it. These people were brick makers. They had worked in the land of Egypt for a long time making bricks. They had come into the land of Canaan and they were beginning farming as an occupation, raising herds, raising sheep, farming, raising crops, grain, and what have you. And here these people were. Well, if you want to be successful, you need to worship the god of fertility, and your cattle will multiply better, and your ground will produce better. You know, it was a challenge. Well, today we still have challenging gods that hinder our service to the true God. One God is the God of pleasure. Pleasure seekers have a hard time being seriously devoted to God. Paul describes such whose God is their belly, Philippians 3:19. He went on to say that the person that lives in pleasure is dead while living, 1 Timothy 5:6. Secondly, there's the God of entertainment, a God keeping many families from wholehearted devotion to God. You know, we as a people spend more on entertainment, I guess, than we do on anything else. Bubble gum for the brain, so to speak. That's what I call it. Keeping our minds off of serious things. You know, it was said of the idolatrous Israelites that they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Exodus 32:6. Materialism is another God that comes between us and the Lord. We're so busy with the material, the physical, which there's nothing wrong with. We're living in it. But it comes to the point that we have no time for spiritual things. We lay up treasure on earth rather than in heaven. The instruction of Jesus to the contrary, Matthew 6:19. We're choked with the riches and troubles and the cares of this life, Luke 8:14. Then there are things, just plain old things, that have become the god of many. In a never-dying quest for more things, we have little time left for God. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then there's that old one, fifth place, money. How long has money been an idol to some people, coming between them the true and living God? But Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, despise the other, or he will hold to the one, despise the other, or he will hate the one, love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, he said. But the children of Israel told Joshua, we will serve the Lord. He said, well, you can't serve the Lord because there are other gods in the way. You've got to get these other gods out of the way before you can serve God, for he's a jealous God. He won't have somebody else sitting on the throne with him, you see, in the throne of your heart. You know, it's the same way today. We've got to get the other gods out of the way before we and our families can serve the Lord. They said, well then, we'll serve the Lord. And then he said, well, you'll just have to get rid of the other gods. And he said, it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Today, will that be our resolve? To serve the Lord? To put him ahead of everything else? To get everything else out of the way that's in the way of our serving God? It's time for us to make up our minds. Joshua said, choose you this day. Don't keep halting between two opinions. You know, we've been in the valley of decision too long. We need to choose now who we're going to serve. Are we ready to put away the gods that hinder us from serving God and devote our lives to His service today? There's one here today, and you're ready to make that decision. We're about to stand and sing the song of invitation. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. We'll be happy to assist you in that. Place your faith and your trust in Jesus. Repent of your sin. Confess that faith. Be buried with your Lord in baptism. Rise to walk in newness of life and serving the true and living God. If as a Christian you've wandered away and you need to come back, we're here to pray with you and for you. And we can help you in making that move today. We encourage you to come while we stand, while we sing.